Who can tell me what you were doing 1 year ago on this day? You don't remember? What's that? I did. 1 year ago today, I had the wonderful blessing of coming to preach a trial sermon. And I'm so glad that you voted to send me to bring me here. But I got to tell you, as I look out at y'all, I mean, a lot of you look pretty good still. But Randy back there, he needs a lot of prayer. We're in the book of Ruth. And we're in the fourth chapter, and we're coming down to the end of this great, great book. And so if you have your Bible, if you'll take your Bible and open it up to the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, we're going to be reading from verse 13. And when you get there, if you're able, please rise as we honor the Lord with His reading of His Word this morning. Now I want you to know this morning before we begin that two things are going to happen in this church this morning as I preach. The first is you're either going to agree with what God has said to us in His Word and you're going to draw near unto God. You're going to allow God's Word to touch your heart or else you're going to say, no, not going to do it. Well, one of two things will happen every time we preach the Word of God. You're either going to draw near to God or you're going to move away from God. Because God's Word, it never goes out void. And so your opportunity this morning is to draw near unto God, and let's pray when all is said and done that you will have done just that. Beginning in Ruth, the fourth chapter, the 13th verse, so Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Father, we come to You today, and Lord, we are most thankful. This is the day that the Lord hath made, the psalmist wrote. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we have much to be thankful for, much to be rejoicing in this day. But Lord, let our rejoicing come to a point of seriousness where we would hear Your Word unto us. Where Father, we would allow You to deal with our hearts this morning. Father, that we may be all that You would have us to be. Father, in this world in which we live, many think that the purpose of life is to be successful and well thought of and many other worldly type of things. But Lord, if we forget to fulfill Your purpose for our lives, we will have missed life itself. Lord, help us to not only have life, but to build a life, one that honors You, one that glorifies You, and help us to be a vessel that You can use to glorify the name that stands above every name, the name that which one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. May Jesus be unto us a stepping stone into heaven and not a stumbling block. May He be our Lord and not our judge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, Annie Flint wrote the words of this poem. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary, known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. And I want to share with you this morning as we come down to the end, this being the final message from the book of Ruth, that Ruth is a living testimony of those words. You see, just imagine the burdens that this dear woman bore as she lived in the enemy's land there in Moab. But God was ever gracious to her. He gave her a faith to repent of her sin. He gave her a desire to repent of her sin. He gave her a desire to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to place her trust in Him. His grace continued in her life when she moved on to Bethlehem. He guided her to a field by the name that was owned by a man by the name of Boaz. And lo and behold, when Boaz gazed out on that field, he saw her. And I think it was love at first sight. And he fell in love with her. And God's grace continued, as we've talked about in this series, at the town gate where the near kinsmen, as we talked about last week, rejected her, paving the way for Boaz to purchase her. And now, family and friends, if you will, remember what we've said. We've said the fourth chapter of Ruth focuses on three people, the groom and the bride and the baby. And we've talked about the groom and we talked about the bride. And today we're going to talk about this baby. So that's where we want to focus our attention this morning. Now remember, God's Word teaches that any two persons presenting themselves for marriage, they ought to want the blessing of Almighty God and the blessing of God's people on their marriage. Amen? And so Boaz sought that for he and for Ruth, and the people obliged. And they prayed that the house of Boaz would be fruitful. Can you just imagine your marriage and what would happen in your marriage and in the life of the church if we really got serious with God and we began to pray? Pray for one another, for God's grace, God's mercy, God's fulfillment, and God's purpose to be done in all of our lives. I mean, get down to business with God. I repent of those sins. Get rid of your preconceptions. Get rid of your prejudices. Get down to business with God in prayer. I tell you what, the world would change if God's people would get busy praying with God. You see, our text informs us that after the marriage, and grace only multiplies. Now, after the marriage, God continued to pour out His grace on Ruth and Boaz by giving her conception. And He then added more grace by giving her a safe delivery of a son whom they named Obed. That seems kind of a strange name, doesn't it? How many of you named your child Obed? Hey, yo, Obed over there, get on over here, boy. No, you didn't do that, did you? I mean, it's a strange name, isn't it? But I want you to know that Obed means servant. What has God asked you and I to be but servant? Now this Obed means a servant, and God would use this child to be a blessing to many. First of all, Obed would be a blessing to his parents. This is no ordinary baby. This is God's special gift to Ruth and Boaz. Dear parent, if your child is with you this morning, I want you to remember that the child that God gave you is a gift from God. Your child is no ordinary baby. He is a special gift from Almighty God unto you. And what a blessing Obed was to their home. Every baby is a special gift from God, and every blessing should be treated as such. My child. Every time we look at our child, we ought to remember what a blessing God gave. Now I know what you're thinking. My child don't act like a blessing every day. That's true enough. But they are a blessing, aren't they? Could you imagine life without them? Every child deserves a loving home. And every child deserves caring parents whose one great desire is not to buy them every Game Boy, every Nintendo. You can tell how old I am. Every system that's out there. Not to give them everything that they ask for, no. Listen, you can buy your child all the trinkets of this world and it will not matter in the end. You need to give your child the greatest gift, and the greatest gift that every parent can give their child is this: to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Teach your child to love the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul, all their mind and all their strength, and you will have done well as a parent. And then guide their lives. That's why when they're not acting as a blessing, you can help them, because the rod of correction will drive it far from them, so that they mature and they become all that God has planned. And then second, Obed was going to be a blessing to Naomi. Now we all remember at the beginning of the book how bitter Naomi had become, because she'd been trusting in her own strength. She'd been relying on herself. Well, I think she used to probably read her Bible. I can just picture, trust in me with all my heart and lean not on the Lord at all. Well, we know that's not how the Bible goes, and yet that's how a lot of people are living their lives today, isn't it? We want to rely on our smarts, our wills, not God's will nor God's wisdom. But Naomi has come a long way in this journey. She's no longer bitter. And her name meant pleasant. And isn't it great when a woman turns from bitterness and becomes pleasant once again? And she becomes his grandmother. And she informally adopts him. She just says, bring that boy on over here. I'll take care of him. And she treats him as her own son. And she became to him like a foster mama, if you will. And the women of Bethlehem, they're sharing Naomi's joys when they said, blessed be the Lord. Now note who get the credit. Blessed be the Lord, who which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. And the reference is to Obed, not Boaz. You see, Obed was a restorer of life to Naomi. And every grandparent can bear witness that grandchildren are better than the fountain of youth. We get young again when them grandkids come over, don't we? Oh, how we love to have them come over and chase them around and sugar them up and send them home to mom and dad. And we like to hear mom and dad call us, what'd you do? They're just not behaving. They're everywhere. They won't settle down. And we just sit back and smile. A job well done by a grandparent. But you know, children, they remind us that there is no better way to get a new lease on life than by investing ourselves in our younger generation. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what God is saying? There is no better way to get a new lease on life than by investing in the younger generation. The greatest focus of our lives as parents and grandparents is to make certain that we are investing in our children and our grandchildren. That means we sacrifice time and maybe our plans, but we make certain that whatever we do, we're going to invest in our younger generation. You know, we hear much in church life today that, well, you know, young people, they just don't want to come around anymore. I'm thankful. You know, there's a lot of young people in this church this morning. There have been a lot of young people over at the youth center. But friends, perhaps we wouldn't be saying that if the church was doing what it should be doing, and that is investing in a younger generation. Investing means we're going to spend time in prayer, and we're going to seek to give them our wisdom. We're not going to quit. We're not going to be bowed down. We're not going to grow discouraged just because there's roadblocks out there. Why, by golly, my God can do anything. Amen? There is nothing impossible for God. All it takes is a little willingness on our part and a little investing on our part. You know something else? When you hold a baby in your arms, you're hanging on to the future. Did you realize that? When I look at our young people today, I see people that we're investing in their future. Obed was a blessing in another way to Naomi. He was one day going to care for the family that had brought him into the world. He would continue the family line. He would protect the inheritance, and he would be able to use it to sustain Naomi. He lived up to his name and he served his foster mother, his grandmother. The guarantee of this ministry was the law of the land. Not the law of the land, it was the love of Ruth for Naomi. You remember back there in chapter 1? Ruth was a living testimony that Naomi had been living her life outside the will of God. She didn't want Ruth to follow her back home. But Ruth had that great statement of faith, where you live, I live, where you die, I'll die. I want to be with you. That's love. She didn't look at the hardships, and it was going to be hard. There was no guarantee of a Boaz in her future. When Ruth said, I'm going to pledge to go with you, Naomi, wherever you go, it was that Ruth was going to take care of her the rest of her life. She was invested in her. I want you to note that Obed's an only son here. But what a son he was. His love would be to Ruth and Naomi better than 7 sons, according to God's word. But this child would also bring a blessing to Bethlehem. This child would bring fame, not only to the family name and the name of his native town. Elimelech, you'll remember, his name had almost disappeared from Israel. But Obed was going to make that name famous, and he was going to bring glory to Bethlehem. And in doing so, Naomi would have the comfort of knowing that the family name would not perish, but increase in fame. How is this all possible? Because Obed would one day become the grandfather of King David, Israel's greatest ruler. Don't you find it interesting how Ruth ends with all these different names? And because of this, Obed would also be a blessing to Israel. Now we all know that God chose David because he was a man after his own heart. And what made him a man after God's own heart was the fact that David learned the value of repentance. And I'd like to just ask you this morning a question. Have you learned the value of repentance? Or do you take sin lightly? There's a big difference from being sorry, and there's a difference between godly sorrow that leads to repentance and restoration of life. As a matter of fact, we all know we cannot have Christ as our Lord and Savior unless we come to that place in our heart and in our mind where we are convinced and convicted that we are lost, and there's a place awaiting that we don't want to go to. And we have to repent. We have to agree that what God says in the Bible about us is true, that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we are living as the enemies of Christ, but God commendeth His love for us, in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Oh, friend, just think about that. None of us were born when Christ died on the cross, but He saw each one of us. He saw the generation in which we lived. He knew the days we would be upon planet Earth, and He also knew that He loved us even before we were born, even while we were yet enemies. He knew every mistake we would make, and yet when He hung on the cross for us, He shed His blood for us, that we might repent and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you've come to that point in your life. See, David wasn't sinless by any stretch of the imagination. But when God convicted him of his wrongdoing, David quickly repented of his evil, and he got himself straight with God. See, David just wasn't sorry for his sin. He wasn't sorry that he got caught. He wasn't sorry that he had to face some circumstances. He embraced the circumstances because he knew he had failed God. And he repented. It was because of this great faith in God that God used David to build a mighty kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. It was David who led the people to overcome their enemies, expand their inheritance, and most of all, do you realize it was David who taught the people how to worship God? That's how it's possible for Obed to be a blessing to both Bethlehem and Israel. But you know, he was also a blessing to the whole world. Because the greatest blessing God gave to Obed was the fact that he was an ancestor of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Everybody knew that the Messiah was going to come from the kingly tribe of Judah, but no one knew which family in Judah would be chosen. And God chose David's family. And the Redeemer would be known as the Son of David. Little did Ruth know, all this would come to pass when she placed her faith and trust in Israel's God while she was living in the enemy's land and among the enemy's people. I doubt even Naomi knew the great power of grace that God would lavish upon each one of them. That's what's so amazing about God's grace, isn't it? Did you know that in the Mosaic Law in Deuteronomy 23:3 that it is written that the Moabites were not to enter the congregation of the Lord even to the 10th generation? And yet our story closes with a 10 generation genealogy climaxing with the name of David. Never underestimate the power of God's amazing grace. Now, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again that the number 8 in biblical numerology stands for a new beginning. And some of you may be here this morning and you're in need of a new beginning. This is the 8th and final message from the book of Ruth, which is the 8th book in the Old Testament. And it is my prayer as we study this book that we have grown to understand in greater detail what it truly means to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. How many of you would agree as you look back at Ruth's life and Ruth's story that to love God like Ruth did, that requires a deep commitment. A deep commitment. It hadn't been easy. But she's hung in there because she's hung on to God. And your life might not be easy. You might have some severe challenges that you face and some things you're wishing you didn't have to face. But I want to encourage you to stay committed to God and to hang in there with God. Because with God, there's always a new beginning, because there is nothing impossible for God. And so there are many practical lessons as we close out that we can learn from Ruth. First, Ruth beautifully illustrates God's work of salvation. She began as an outsider, a stranger. Friend, that's how we all begin with God, isn't it? We sing the song, "Just As I Am." And we come forward. We're coming as the enemy of God. We're coming as a stranger unto God. But we just believe that God can save us. We believe that if we repent of our sin and ask Him to be our Savior and our Lord, that He will do just that. We're a stranger. We still don't know Him yet. All we know is that we're saved. That's what Sunday school and Bible study and all of those things are about learning to know this Savior, this Lord that you have come to receive. Every step of the path that Ruth has taken, she has been growing in the grace and in the knowledge of her Lord and Savior. And how many of you know that's what God asked us to do? 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And she ends up as a member of God's covenant community. When I look at Green Valley Church and all of its members, do you realize, friend, you best give thanks for one another. We are members, one of another, part of a very special community, the covenant community of God here, a body called Green Valley. Amen? She had a kinsman redeemer that brought her in to the family. And that's what Jesus Christ is to us. God sent His Son that He might be tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin, that so that He could understand the human condition. He understands all of our ups and our downs, our triumphs, our sorrows, our sufferings. He was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. He knows what it is to grieve. We remember Him at the tomb of His friend Lazarus, and the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be needed. He knows everything about the human condition. He is our kinsman, redeemer, our Savior, our God. And He paid that price. A price that none of us can pay. And then Ruth illustrates for us what it means to be deeply committed to God. See, when she left her land for God's land, and her land, her people, for God's people, she had no idea that Boaz even existed. And friend, you and I don't know what's around the next corner, do we? But God does. When Ruth went to that field to work, she was just hoping to pick up a few kernels that would sustain her and Naomi. But oh, the grace of God. The amazing grace of God poured out her a blessing that she could never imagine. How many of you know that the Bible says that God can do abundantly more than we could ever ask or think? Oh, we don't know what's around the next corner, but God does. And with God, everything in Him is yes and amen. Go with God, friend. Go with God. And then Ruth reminds us that her world was not that much different from our own. I mean, outside these walls, this world isn't much of a great place, is it? There's some nice things in the world, don't take me wrong, but the political layout of our land, the way people are living today, why, isn't it interesting that we've returned to the days of the Judges, where the Bible says in the book of Judges, which is the seventh book in the Old Testament, that every man which was doing that which was right according to his own eyes. I want to tell you that's a problem with the world today. Instead of doing which is right according to the Word of God, we're trying to live life doing that which is right according to us. And the only problem with that is that we're going to fail. Because we need to live under submission to Almighty God. See, you may be here this morning and that's why you're struggling in life, because you're trying to do it your way and not God's way. And you're in need of a new beginning. You see, evil abounded in Ruth's day, even as it does in our day. But though we live in an evil time, Ruth reminds us that we can still seek first the kingdom of God. How many of you know that's what Jesus told us to do? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that too many people today are running around in their energy of their flesh trying to obtain. But see, we've got it backwards, don't we? Who are we to seek first? We're to seek God first. And God knows what you need. See, the only thing is, we think we know what we need, but we don't know what we need. We need God, and when we have God, we have everything. We can still be loyal subjects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living in the day in which we're living. We don't have to do it the world's way. And what's needed today is for men and women who know Jesus Christ to stand up and be counted and say, thus saith the Lord. What a sad day we are living in, when in many a church today where people go, they're not going to hear about God. Oh, I can preach the way the world preaches. I can tell you just go out and do the best you can. I can tell you you don't need to repent. I can tell you just live any old way you want. I can tell you that the Bible's irrelevant. I can tell you all kinds of things that are a lie. But I won't do that. Because this is God's Word. And thus saith the Lord. We can still be loyal to the King of Kings. We can still be loyal to the one who died for us. We can still be loyal to the one who saved us. Now I want you to remember, the name Elimelech meant God is my king. But we need to remember that Elimelech, he doubted God. And he leaned upon his own understanding and he failed to live up to his name. And what made the difference for Ruth was her commitment. And I'm going to tell you what's going to make the difference for you is to get committed to God. I mean, get committed to God like you've never been committed in all of your life. You know, some of you have a say-so, oh yeah, I love Jesus, but you just go on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Why live an insane life? Which, that, by the way, is the definition of insanity. What's needed in this day is for people, men and women just like us, to get our hearts right with God and get committed to God. Because when we get committed to God, God will make all of the difference. And Elimelech's lack of it made all the difference for him as well. Remember where he died. He died in the enemy's land and among the enemy's people. Her commitment. What this dear woman of God teaches us is she teaches us what commitment is like. She is an example to us of what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our strength, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our heart. And the result was, when we love God like that, God will do for us what He did for Ruth. He will bless us abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or hope. And I will say to you, for Green Valley Baptist Church, its best days are ahead, not behind. The life of faith requires us to trust God with all of our hearts. And Solomon put it this way, when he wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And my friend, when you begin to do that in your personal life, when you begin to do that in your family life, and we begin to do that in this church, then God will pour out His blessings like He's never poured them out before. Until we can be as committed to God as she was, we need to understand something. God can never be to us all that He wants to be. If there's one thing that we've learned from Ruth, it's this. Hold nothing back. Would you say that with me? Hold nothing back. There's a lot of churches just like ours this morning who are meeting for worship. And there's pastors preaching to the best of their ability. I wish I could preach better. I think every pastor does. There's pastors who are preaching to the best of their ability, and there's people sitting in churches who know there's something between them and their God. And they're holding back. They're saying, "God, I will give you this much and no more." And then they wonder why they can't be blessed. They wonder why God doesn't hear their prayers, because that's their claim. We all know that. Well, you know, God just doesn't hear my prayer anymore. Well, friend, it's because you're holding something back. I'm so thankful for Ruth. I'm so thankful that it's the 8th book in the Old Testament. I'm so thankful for a godly woman whom God used to teach all of His people throughout the ages of what it means if you really want to have a new beginning with God. Get committed. Be committed. And stay committed. Don't hold anything back. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. And oh Lord, as we said at the beginning, so it is now. Father, there are those who are going to draw near to You. Those who've heard this message. And those who want to make a commitment, a deeper commitment to You. And sadly, Lord, there are those who have heard the message. And Lord, they'll do nothing with it. They've already decided how deep of a relationship, how much they're going to allow You to have of their lives. They may be saved, but Lord, they're still holding back. And Lord, if anything's been said here that is appropriate today, it is this challenge that we hold nothing back. And so, friend, just before we sing, I'm just going to ask you, why would you want to hold anything back? God is showing us that if we will hold nothing back through the life of Ruth, He can do abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. So why? Why would any of us want to hold anything back? Why not give it? Give our all to Him. And let Him give us all. And to be all to us that He desires to be. Oh, don't miss the purpose of life. And that is to find God's purpose and to fulfill it. And that begins with a commitment to Him. Brother Marty, would you lead us in song this morning?